And Joshua chapter number 14, I want to preach on that this morning, Joshua chapter 14. Thank the Lord for all of the messages that we've heard thus far, and thank the Lord for Mike's permission to get out of the bark. We's out anyway, but the bark's been broken, bless God. We've been out. And I'm telling you, I've had a time this year. I kid you not, I've had a time. All that worry, all that pressure, all that stuff that goes on with the ministry, man, I'm free. I'm out of the box, bless God, and I'm serving the Lord, and the Word of God is sweet and precious, and boy, the pulpit is absolutely red hot, and well, man, I'm just excited about what God's doing. I'm talking about a minute of refreshing from the Word of God and the liberty that we've gotten from the Lord. And we get out of the box. The box has been broken. We're out of the box. And we're thankful to the Lord for that. 18 years of ministry, it ought to be about time. Amen. I ain't worried about what you think. I ain't worried about what you say. I don't need anywhere else to preach. I don't want to preach anywhere else. I ain't trying to impress anybody because all that we tried hadn't worked. And so we're just going to go on and serve the Lord. Amen. And if you like it, you like it. If it become lumps, it's lumps. But if you like it, love it. You're fine. If you don't, fine. We're just going to serve our Lord and love the Lord Jesus Christ and look forward to the days to come where these young men and women are going to serve the Lord, and we're going to flame the fires, and we're going to get behind them and let them serve God, and we're going to share the ministry with them and the little glory that's a part of it. We want to see these young boys and girls serve the Lord. And then next 20 years, we'll go back and look at it, and then this whole platform will be full of men of God, young men of God. There were young teenagers when they first surrendered to the Lord and yielded themselves to the Lord, and now they're handling the Word of God. They're ministering the Word of God. They have their congregations coming, and we get to clip the coupons, if you would, and just rejoice with them. I'm looking forward to that time as well. And Joshua chapter number 14. It's a very familiar passage of scripture, I do believe. So let me just do this. I got a lot to say, and I plan on saying 90% of it this morning. So let me do this. I need to settle myself down just a tad bit, because I don't want to not say anything I'm supposed to say. And Lord knows I don't want to say anything I'm supposed to. And that wouldn't, those that know me, that would not be unusual. Caleb mentioned this in Joshua chapter number 14 and verse number 11. Caleb says, "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. And as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou hearest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. So if so be the Lord will be with me, then I will be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. I want to preach on "Give Me This Mountain" and verse number 12. Our Father, we love you. Thank you so much this morning for being so good to us and so kind. Thank you for the calling of God upon these men of God, the Lord of salvation. First of all, those who were baptized in local New Testament churches and sat and served. Lord, thank you so much for that. And then the calling of God upon their life to preach your blessed word, and then that fresh anointing upon them to go out and pastor. Those who are evangelists, those who are serving on staff at local churches, Lord, will testify of the very truth of the calling and touch of God that's upon their life. Now, Father God, we've gathered a while now, Lord God, and we have certainly sensed thy presence. And Lord God, we don't want to go another moment. We don't want to go another 30, 40 minutes, Lord God, without acknowledging our need of the touch of God upon our lives. And upon this hour of preaching of the Word of God, this manservant need thy touch. Your people need that touch. And oh God, I pray, Lord God, that you will send us a touch of glory this morning upon the Word of God. And we'll praise you for what takes place. For it's in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Be seated if you would please. As we gather for another COBRA conference, it's been glorious. And they always are. And it's amazing how we look back over 18 years and we thought that it can't be any better than this. And it was. And we said, no way. It can't get any better. And it did. And we say, it won't repeat itself. There's no way. And God does again. And he does again. And he doesn't do what he did last time. God does something anew. And God does something fresh upon us. And these men who have labored and have brought the messages of the Word of God and the orchestration that led God to give these men the messages has been absolutely outstanding. Without a shadow of a doubt, God has met with us in a very, very special way. Now, if we're going to please God with the work of God, what we need and what we've always needed is a moving of God. A moving of God. We've anticipated a moving of God. We prayed about a moving of God. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we can say God has certainly spoken to hearts. I don't know if it constitutes a move of God, but I know that God has spoken to hearts. We need a move of God, ladies and gentlemen. We need a move of God on the work of God. We need a move of God on the people of God, ladies and gentlemen. We need a move of God in the communities where we serve. We need to see God moving. We need a touch of God, ladies and gentlemen, on our lives, our ministry, on the Word of God. In the black communities, we need a move of God. Ladies and gentlemen, you see here in COBRA the talent that's in black America. But ladies and gentlemen, there's talent in black America. There's always been talent with people. We've seen by way of television and things of this nature, the organizational skills of black men who have amassed great meeting places and skills. A lot of them are so skilled that they're crooked. But we've seen this moving, the talent, the organization along. Ladies and gentlemen, we know that it does not equal the moving of God. It cannot. Ladies and gentlemen, if numbers and bigness and ability and smarts, if that was the move of God, ladies and gentlemen, we're behind some of these pimp preachers out here. We're way behind if that's the moving of God. Shut her down. Hey, let's join up with some of these old boys. If it's size, if it's organizational skill, if it's ability, hey, let's join in. But it isn't, ladies and gentlemen. We're looking for a move of God. We're looking for the movement of God on the work of God. What's a move of God? Man, that's where I got stuck at. I don't know if I'm sure. I don't know if I know what it is, but I know I want it. I know it's got to be necessary because I've seen what talent can do. I've seen leadership. I've seen leadership. I know about that. And I know it can be developed. But this move of God, I'm not so sure about it. So I've gone and I've looked around a little bit and some folks have talked a little bit about the move of God. The man of God before me mentioned some of the great men of God that we study at and talk about and things of this nature and some of these good men. And I'm assuming there are things to learn from some of the men that he mentioned because these were great men and these men testify of a move of God. We know that the largest churches in America were independent Baptist churches in the 70s. And we know about all those kinds of things. And we believe that there was a move of God. We know about the Great Awakening. We believe that there was a move of God. We know America has known a move of God. America has known the move of God. But I don't know if I know about it. But I want a movement of God. I've seen the Lord move since 1994 in Jacksonville Baptist Temple. I've seen the move of God. I've seen men get saved by the grace of God. I've seen men surrender to the work of God. I've seen men sell out for God and go to places and establish churches. I've seen Linda Green yield to go to Uganda and serve God. I've seen a movement of God in the pews. I've seen a movement of God in the pews. I've seen the touch of God on the pulpit. Crossroads Baptist Church, COBRA conferences, number of conferences around America. We've seen a touch of God on the pulpit. Touch of God at Jacksonville Baptist Temple. I remember just recently, Brother Kenny, my son he's coming along, son. I'm just, after I stand a little Eddie. These young fellas, man, I sit back, pastor, and I said, my Lord. Whew. God protect these boys. Lord, don't let me mentor them. Lord, let me help them. Let me settle them in. Let me settle them down. Let me warn them. Let me help them understand. Boy, don't lose this opportunity. Man, a touch of God's on these fellas. We did a little old gun, young gun conference. And man, I'm telling you the truth. We've heard Dr. Kenny Baldwin for years, and we know the hand of God's on him. And we don't expect, Doc, that there would be anybody else. It'll just be you, as long as God give you life. But man, I'm telling you the truth. There's some fellas got to touch God on them. I'm telling you the truth. There's some young men who touch God on them. And there, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just at one place. There are fellas over here, and there's 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 fellas over here. And it leads me to believe, ladies and gentlemen, they may have been here all the time. They may have been somewhere all the time. We need COBA. And we need COBA in these black communities, because we're seeing young men with touch of God on their life through the ministry of the local New Testament church. A move of God. There are all kind of confessions toward our Lord. There are good meetings where men are trying to get the fire back and get the fire to fall. Men are passing torches and all kinds of things that pass to the next generation. Brother Kenny, Dr. Kenny Baldwin, a few men have preached in meetings like this where, to God be the glory of that. These men are recognizing that there are men capable of handling God's word in an audience of hundreds of people and thousands of people without any type of an agenda but to please the Lord. But that alone, ladies and gentlemen, doesn't constitute the move of God. It just doesn't. It doesn't constitute the move of God. I'm looking for the moving of God. The moving of God have been characterized in eight ways. First of all, they said that the move of God will, if there's a moving of God, there's going to be a genuine revelation or experience of the indwelling presence of God. And this, and when God is moving and present, it's going to be evident that it's that God and God alone, a true acknowledgement that God has met with me, that I've been saved by the grace of God. Back in the olden days, when people are getting saved by the grace of God, they had to testify. They had to prove that God has saved me. Just saying I'm saved was not enough. Just being able to repeat some things was not enough. Where is the evidence that you know God? Where is the transformed life? Where's the evidence that you know the Lord? Secondly, it said it's a spiritual appetite and a vocabulary that reflects change. Hey, to say I'm saved and then Monday forget that I was saved. And don't act saved at work, and don't act saved at play. But it's been a spiritual appetite, wanting to be in the house of God, wanting to be here after 10 o'clock at night, wanting to be here before 9 in the morning, wanting to stay a while, want to be around God, want to be around the things of God. They said thirdly, it's a heavenly calling and a purposeful gathering, a heavenly calling. They say when there's a movement of God. Fourthly, they say the Christ-centeredness in our thinking, in our life endeavor. Lord knows we need that. Amen. We need a Christ-centeredness in our thinking, even as pastors, even as missionaries, even as serving the Lord. It's Christ-centered. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you young boys and girls that's trying to serve God, you won't be serving God long before you think that what you're doing is a job. And it's not. It's not. You take a meeting. Anywhere they'll let you come and you preach your heart out to whoever will listen to you preach. And if you get enough offering to get to the next meeting, hallelujah, praise God. But if you have to thumb your way to the next meeting, you met with God. And you're doing what God called you to do. It is so easy, and many of them have gotten to the place and so comfortable now to know what the Bible says, and then we begin to anticipate and expect that the people of God is going to take care of me. When God's the one called you. But a Christ-centeredness in our thinking. As you heard all week, the ministry does not belong to me, Pastor. The ministry does not belong to you, Pastor. The ministry belongs to the Lord. The way we manage our ministry is the Lord's. It's hard to get through. It's hard to get in. I understand. It's difficult, but it's not about us. It's always been about the Lord. The fifth thing they said is brotherhood. Cain asked the question to the Lord in Genesis 4:9. He said, am I my brother's keeper? God, am I responsible for that one you created? What's my responsibility? We know from a biblical perspective, if you're lost by the grace of God, you don't have any responsibility to anybody. You don't have any power to do anything anyway. But if you've been saved by the grace of God, cannot God use you to be an encouragement to somebody? If you're saved by the grace of God, cannot God use you to lift somebody up? If you've been saved by the grace of God, cannot God use you? Yes, He can. One way or the other, you do have a responsibility as brethren in the Lord. We do have a responsibility as brethren. As a matter of fact, in the New Testament, there was such a moving of God that they had all things common, the Bible says. In Acts chapter number 4, verse number 32, the Bible said, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common," the Bible says. We can look at it from a local church perspective. We can look at it from the perspective of those that are brethren in the Lord, our quote, Cobra team, and those who have encouraged us and all those kind of things as well. Ladies and gentlemen, we have all things common. All things common. I mean, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we believe that. I mean, we went as far years ago to say, man, I don't want a building if you can't have a building. We went as far to say, I don't want a salary if you don't have a salary. We went as far to say, I don't want to talk about the blessings of the Lord if you can't mention the blessings of the Lord. Well, we share our lives together. We are committed to this thing. We were committed. We are committed to this thing. We want to share everything. And we shared everything times past. We do now. And in the times past, it was not envy or jealousy. It was encouragement. Because God's blessing here, God's going to bless me. Why? Because we're faithful. We believe the word of God. And then we just knew that was just a move of God upon Coba. We believe that there was a move of God in church planting. We believe that there's a move of God in missions. We need all things common, but we find out among good godly men that all things are not common. They're not common. I got mine. And I'll teach you how to go get yours. I got mine. And come on to my office. Let me show it to you. Oh, yeah. See, this is where we were over in Africa. We hunted over here. Here's where we went. You're showing a young fellow here that offering wasn't good, son. Come on. Let me show you how good God is. And got it over here. This one I was up such and such. This one I was up such and such. And by the way, watch this. By the way, we're going on another mission trip. Oh, our church normally takes care of it. We pay all the expense of the mission trip. Here's a young preacher here. He ain't never asked the question, would you like to go? Preacher never asked the question, we vacation. This year we're going to go vacation such and such. And he never asked the question, why don't you come go with us? You know why? Because all things aren't common. I mean, it's easy to get ourselves in a box that God's working right here. And I'm so busy serving my God that I can't see outside of my box. I can't see that what God, I love mission. I love missionaries. Hey, but the secretary will give you a check. The treasurer will give you a check. And I'll see you next year. As a matter of fact, we're getting ready to load up because we're going on another one of our scourges. All things are not common. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, bitterness can begin to set in. I mean, a disrespect can begin to mount up. And you get to places, ladies and gentlemen, and they recognize a doctor so-and-so is in our midst, and we say, okay, well, doctor so-and-so has done such and such and such a thing. So? So what? He doesn't care anything about me. All he wants to know is, son, where you want me to sign your Bible? Just give me a good spot. Where you want me? I'm gonna sign it for you. Take it home. Yeah, take it home. Show your kids my signature in there. I'm Dr. Such and Such. I've signed your Bible, son. That ought to be enough. And by the way, we're having a meeting such and such. If you can get there.
You're right.
If you can get there. We got books we want. I got two or three books I want to give you. If you can get to the meeting, I'm going to give you something. It's going to help your ministry. but if you can't get there, because I won't give you a plane ticket, and I won't put you up in one of my prophet chambers, because I can't consider it, then you just won't get a blessing. But you find out some kind of way to get to it. I got a book or two I'm going to give you that's going to help you. We don't have all things come. We've never had all things come. And it's not racist. It's carnality. It's not racist. It's carnality. Hey, we often say among ourselves, hey, fellas, it's easy to forget where you come from. The Bible is clear. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is full of challenges from the Word of God. We say, man, we're all in this together. Okay? It sure don't look like it. Amen? It sure don't look like it. It doesn't feel that way to those who just simply need a little help, need a little hand, need a little encouragement. Dr. Graham is here, Victory Baptist Church in Benton. And I've never been around Dr. Graham that he's not tried to encourage me. I've been in Arkansas 18 years. Dr. Graham came over to the church, preached for us in January. That's the first time he's been there. Well, maybe a couple of fellowship meetings. He had nothing. He didn't know anything about our ministry, per se. But he knew enough. He watched me. He's a man of God. He grew up in a preacher's home. He'd been around men of God all his life. And man, I'm telling you, he preached for us. We had a time. And then listen to me now. This is a pastor, large church. We went out after that, man, we'd 1 o'clock. He didn't get home 2 o'clock in the morning. Dr. Ken Graham. He's a big man, Arkansas. But man, we just fellowship. We almost took the shoes off. I mean, we had the time. We were literally having a time. Having a time. Having a time. He tries to encourage me every opportunity he gets. And I try to let everybody I know about Dr. Ken Graham. He's a tremendous man of God anyway. He's just a great man. And his people there, his church there, his school, there are guys like that. And young preachers, you need to understand that everybody is not like that fellow that's not like Christ. There's some God-fearing men out here. There's some God-fearing pastors out here. There's some people that really love God and really want to see you serve God. And it's not lip service. Lip service. Now, I ain't even gotten to the introduction. I ain't nowhere near the message. But bear with me a little bit. Got all things coming. The sixth thing was a reality of being in Christ. What does that mean to be in Christ? Seventh, it was a rediscovery of God's eternal purpose. And then as Dr. Baldwin was talking about Monday night, a captivating spirit-led worship. Where we worship the Lord, where we come to worship the Lord, where we're going to worship the Lord, and we're going to stay here until the Lord's pleased. They say that these things constitute a move of God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when the last time you've been in a place like that? When the last time you've been around men like that? When the last time, ladies and gentlemen, where people wanted a move of God, where the congregation wanted a move of God, where the leadership wanted a move of God, not just to talk about it, but really wanted a move of God? As Doc talked about the other night, where we were not worried about the schedule so much. It's for the move of God. When the last time someone has said, "Preacher, I know I'm scheduled to sing, but my heart ain't right. I just need maybe the next night or next day I can sing." Or when the last time you heard a preacher say, "Brother, you mind if you call on somebody else?" Or if I could preach, I could do a lot of things, but I'm sensing the direction of God, and what I'm planning to preach, I don't know if what God wants. Can this dear brother bring a message from God? When the last time we really been serious about the things of God and the moving of God? When the last time that we've been in places where men were called of God, and then those men that called of God really went out and did what God called them to do? We need a movement of God, ladies and gentlemen. We need a movement of God. 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 And maybe it's going to take those men that know about the move of God, know about the touch of God, to help us understand. Hey, young men, wait on the Lord. Wait on God's leadership. God's going to move. Don't get in a hurry. God's going to move. In this text, Joshua, this servant of God, and Caleb, the man of God, knew the movement of God. Caleb was a special servant of the Lord. See, Moses was already in leadership. God had already called Moses to leadership. Caleb would assume the position of leadership, but Caleb was just simply following the Lord. He was Joshua's co-laborer, and he, under the tenure of Moses, he followed the Lord. As he and Caleb were co-laborers together, he followed the Lord. And now Caleb has a responsibility of conquering the land, dividing the land, those getting their inheritance. And Caleb was just simply following the Lord. He was simply God's man that was following the Lord. And he had waited for years, 45 years, to claim that God had told him he could have. And all of a sudden, ladies and gentlemen, it got to that time, that they crossed over to Jordan, and a number of years had transpired, and all of a sudden it's time for Caleb to get what God wanted him to have. And Caleb comes and he shares with us, ladies and gentlemen, the great challenge. Hey, I want that mountain. I want what God wants for me. I want what God wants me to have. I want that which God had set out for me some 45 years ago. I want it. I want it. I want to preach about that this morning. I want it. Particularly to our young men that's serving the Lord. Do you want what God wants for you? You get discouraged in this work now, but do you want what God wants for you? First of all, let's talk about Caleb's conquest for just a moment. We're not going to spend a lot of time with it. Let's talk about Caleb's conquest. Caleb's conquest. The Bible says some great things about Caleb, but it didn't say a lot about him. We know his father. We know that he's the son of Jephunneh. We know what his father's name means. The Bible, it's said that many of the commentators have said that his name means for whom a way is prepared. And listen, ladies, if you don't like genealogies, man, that's something wrong. Because it's good to see how a father follows the Lord, leaves his home, and see his family, his children catches on to the vision that God's given him. And somehow, Caleb's father had something from God. He obviously knew something from the Lord and those who named him, that he would bear the burden of knowing that the Lord has prepared a way. A way has been prepared. Caleb was one of the ones that God would give him to help initiate this way that's being prepared. He was one of the 12 that Moses had chosen to go out and inspect the land. And all he needed to do was come and give a report. And Moses didn't tell him to give a good report. He just told him to give a report. The report was going to be good because it was what God was going to give them. So he was one of the 12 that came and brought a report. He was one of two that gave the correct assessment of what they saw. And yet this godly man, Caleb, was not spared from that 40 years of wandering. As a matter of fact, in Joshua chapter number 14, verse number 8, the Bible said, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord." Joshua and Caleb were just the only two. And they had to live in the midst of this 40-year wandering because it was the will of God for the nation of Israel. The contest of Caleb's. What is his contest? What was his struggle in this victory? Well, verse number 7, he says this. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to inspire out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, "Surely the land whereon thy foot hath trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain." Caleb's conquest. Notice the things about Caleb that we don't often consider, but he had to survive bitterness. He had to survive bitterness. We're not going to build up on that. But you got to understand, Caleb and Joshua were ready to go over in Numbers 13, 14. They were ready to go over and begin to conquer the land, begin to receive what God wanted to receive. But 10 of them gave an evil report, and the hearts of the people went toward that evil report, and they got faithless, and they said that we couldn't do it. And moreover, they were simply saying, I don't believe God could do it through us either, so we can't do it. We're going to die in the wilderness. Moses, you brought us out here to die. And Caleb and Joshua was trying to steal the people and say, oh, we can do it. God's going to do it through us. Yes, we can. But it wasn't to be so. He couldn't persuade the people. And so God said that they're going to die in the wilderness. And Caleb and Joshua would spend the next 40 years somewhere that they did not want to be, doing something that they did not want to do, because the people chose not to follow God. And they couldn't have gotten bitter. Ladies and gentlemen, if Caleb had gotten bitter by the time he gets to the plan that he wanted to land, then Caleb would have said, Joshua, just give me whatever you want me to have, because I'm not strong enough to deal with it anyway. I'm not going to enjoy any of it. Just whatever you want me to have. Give me a rock. Give me a little parcel of land someplace, because I don't have enough strength now. I've been dealing with these knucklehead brethren of mine. And when I had some strength years ago, when I really wanted to go, I couldn't go because I was dealing with these Baptists. And all of a sudden now I get a chance to get to land. Now I can't even enjoy. Hey, bitterness didn't set in on Caleb. Bitterness, he did not allow the struggle to make him bitter. He did not allow the struggle to keep him away from God. Hey, he survived bitterness. Ladies and gentlemen, Caleb was surrounded by death. Every one of his cohorts would die before he crossed over into the land of promise. Every one of his cohorts, all of those that were in leadership, all of his family members that were above 20 years old would die. He was surrounded by death. Constantly, folks dying, being buried in the wilderness. His spirit was refreshed. Verse number 11, Caleb said, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Caleb's spirit was refreshed. There may have been times throughout that 40-year journey that Caleb's spirit was refreshed. I like to think every time they had a funeral, Caleb's spirit was refreshed. I like to think every time someone died, Caleb's spirit was refreshed. And he's simply saying, one down, one more to go. 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 The last down. Woo! Hallelujah. We're going across now. The last man down. And we're going across. Listen, Caleb would have been the only one to know who the last man was going to be. Look, 40 years, ladies and gentlemen, they've forgotten about all that. But Caleb and Joshua didn't forget. They're looking for the last man down. Oh, you better be thankful to the Lord that God don't tell the man of God who that last man got to go down is. You better be thankful to the Lord we don't know who that last man is before the glory comes again in the church. You'll get a missionary call. You'll get a pastoral call. You'll get an invitation to go to somebody else's church and go take a job somewhere. You better thank God we don't know who it is. God said, preacher, if you get him out of here, I'll show up in a great way. I said, God, I got a friend that needs some help. Can't we send him down there? You better be glad we don't know who that is. And I'm not surprised that it might be so that way. Well, we sure seen some things happen that God had to, there had to be some maneuvering going on. There were some folks that were close that had to move out of the way. There were some things that had to happen before God would begin to pour his glory down like he wants to do in the church. Everybody in the local New Testament church can't handle what God wants to do. Just can't handle what God wants to do. The man of God has to stay there and love them and labor with them and counsel with them and all kinds of things. But ladies and gentlemen, there's sometimes it's God wants you to get out of the way. God may need you to move. There's some pastors got to move. There's some missionaries got to move. There's some evangelists got to take a church somewhere before God does what he wants to do. He survived bitterness. He was surrounded by death, but he didn't get discouraged. He didn't quit. He was refreshed. All the way through the Bible, we see that Paul mentioned men of God where he was refreshed. He was refreshed. He was refreshed all the way through the scriptures. A refreshing. What is it? Well, in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14, the Bible said, "And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there." This was the time that David was fleeing from his son Absalom. And this was the time that Shimei was taking the opportunity to put David in his place. He was cursing the man of God. He was cursing the king. And all the people that left with David, they left in a hurry, ladies and gentlemen, because Absalom, David didn't want to kill his son. They left in a hurry. And boy, they were out of breath, but they got to this place and there were food that came unto these men. And when they ate, they were refreshed. They were refreshed. They were refreshed. It means to revive as with food, rest, or drink. Refresh means to be given a new spirit, a new vigor for the things of God. It means to be restored. It means to give a freshness or brightness. It means to be replenished, to be filled up again. Paul understood this, and he testified in the church of Corinth, and he testified with Timothy about being refreshed, being around the people of God, being around the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, it brings a refreshing. The encouraging words, the encouraging comments, encouraging thoughts, refreshes. Just seeing what God's doing in Dr. Kenny Ball. Man. God be the glory. I remember several times, you know, Pastor and I was at the house, we're talking a little bit. And, you know, I'm old school. And I look up here, this little young kid, teenager, he done pulled a chair up. I'm just, I had to be careful what I say. I don't want to fool the young man, but I noticed that Pastor didn't say anything. All right, so I started to open up a little bit more. And I'm watching. And I just watch. And I noticed the Pastor didn't say, you know how we do when the kids are around. When we run and talk about church members, they talk about us, we talk about you too. And so my wife and I, depends on the car, we start talking about our church members. They talk about us. And we talk about our church members a little bit. But right now, to this, after 18 years, I hadn't done what I talked about. I hadn't done to anybody what I said I ought to do. 18 years. I'm still, right at this point, I'm waiting on the Lord. We was talking a little bit, and I'll look up every now and then. We turn the music on because my kids, son, I look up at the rearview mirror and I notice, especially Michaela. Dee Dee is a little quieter, but she's listening to it. So I turned the music up a little bit. Or I said, we'll just wait a little bit. As far as I know, my kids don't go out and tell people. Well, that's okay, because my dad don't like you anyway. I heard him say this. And we'll be the other thing. I won't say it anymore. All right, but I watched Brother Kenny, and I was a little bit careful. Now, we were talking about other things, not about church members. This is COBRA time. A lot of stuff was going on. We're trying to figure out, was God just in one section of the building? We're trying to figure out, was God just on one pew of the building? We're trying to figure out, was the speaker system broke on one side? Were they not where God, where we were, where God was? Well, why is the response so different? It's as though they weren't even in the building. It was as though they didn't even hear from God. It was as though they didn't believe that what was they saw in the Word of God was actually there. And we're just talking pastoral stuff, preachers. And he chimed in every now. He got in on it. That kid knows what he's talking about. It wasn't just emotional stuff. This kid, he knew what he was saying. He understood the principles of it. And boy, from that point on, we just opened up, man. And when I saw Brother Kenny as a young man, I talked to him like he'd been pastoring 25 years. We just fellowship. We just talk about this. Why? Because he had a heart that God could trust him. His father could trust him. He knew that. Maybe the other children as well, but I'm just talking about this scenario because I was there. Hey, he could be trusted. He could be trusted with valuable information. He could be trusted with the Word of God. He could be trusted behind the pulpit. And they begin to see that trust that he gained among other preachers all over the United States. That's a teenager. And how he holily followed. And boy, every time I come, I get refreshed. He refreshes me. When they talk about the vision for young people. Now I'm going to start asking them. They get to come to Arkansas, and I want you to look over this crowd again. And see, you see that same vision. Because maybe it's for the kids of Northern Virginia to see this great vision. I would come down to Arkansas and just step back and look at this bunch. Not membership of Jacksonville Baptist. Let's look at Pulaski County, man. And to see, does God telling you that what you're saying about the future, does it include this bunch? Because I ain't sensing it. I ain't feeling it. But when I get around these guys, I get refreshed. And I said, just maybe God might get one of these young boys and girls and things like that. Refresh. We need a refreshing. We need to be refreshed. Ladies and gentlemen, when I get up and go, if God's up and gone, we need to be refreshed. We need to be refreshed. We need to be refreshed. Caleb was refreshed even after 45 years dealing with bitterness and death. Caleb was refreshed. When it became Caleb's opportunity, he's ready to go. He was refreshed. How was Caleb refreshed after 45 years? Well, number one, his dependency was upon the Lord. His dependency was under the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, that's undeniable. His dependency was upon the Lord. It wasn't upon Moses. It wasn't upon Joshua. It wasn't upon the fellowship of the brethren. His dependency was on the Lord God. And you go to the book of Numbers in chapter number 12 and 13. It's obvious that Caleb depended upon the Lord. Undeniable. Undeniable. His dependency was on the Lord. Secondly, his delight was not delayed. His delight was not delayed. Undisputable. What do you mean by that? Ladies and gentlemen, after 45 years, he still wanted what God wanted him to have 45 years ago. It's undisputable that his delight was not delayed. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, when your time comes, boy, my son's pouring in the valley, son. Boy, he's ready to get the pulpit, man. He's ready. He wants it. These young guys want to preach. They want to serve God. They want the children's church. They want the bus ministry. They want it, son. They ready to go. And I have to help them understand when the time comes, that delight will still be there. It won't be delayed. You'll enjoy it. You'll see God do the things that you want to see God do right now, a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 4 years from now. If you're serving the Lord, if you're dependent upon the Lord, not man, if you're not trying to impress man but serve God, ladies and gentlemen, that time's going to come when that delight of serving the Lord, maybe full time in the work of God, won't be delayed. And the years that you had to wait will be precious time. His dependence was upon the Lord. His delight was not delayed, but thirdly, his direction was God-led. That's understanding. God was leading. And he believed God before the killing started. He and Joshua said, we're more than capable of beating this bunch. They came back and said, guys, you're just like grasshoppers in the sight of these giants. We're more than capable. We can do this. This can be done. These boys can be whipped. David pushing his cheese basket there out to his brethren there, giving them bread and cheese. And all of a sudden, this Philistine comes up out of the valley, and he cries out, and he basically saying, "Who wants some? Who wants some? The man I whipped, the nation bows down. Because if you whip me, my nation bows down. Who wants some?" David didn't want any. Because he didn't come to fight. But somebody had to shut him up after a while. Who wants some? Who wants some? Hey, come get some. Bring your king with you. Where's that king of Israel? Bring him on out and let him come on and get some. I'll take two of you home. Come on. They didn't want him. All of a sudden, they begin to find out about this free taxation. All of a sudden, he began to find out about this nice young virgin girl that's available. The king's daughter. All of a sudden, he began to get stirred up a little bit. Said, I done handled the lion. I done handled the bear. I done see that lion. That bear stands up. About. I done handled him. Not that lion I snatched. And this guy. David began to say, if I get up close to him, I ain't got a chance. But if I step back on that fella, he got to get back down. If I step back, he better get eye level. But if I get up on him, I ain't got much of a chance. But if I just stay off him, he's about, yeah, I see it now. I can handle this if God help me. If God helps me, I can handle this. And he said, is there not a cause? He's defying the God of Israel. Hey, he's putting our God down. Somebody has to shut this giant up. David stepped out on faith and ability he had, and he let her go, son. And God did the rest. Boom. It was undeniable, his understanding that Caleb believed God. See, we've always known where the Lord leads, he feeds. We've always known where the Lord guides, he provides. But here's our problem. We don't understand oftentimes where the Lord sends, he lends. Proverbs 19:17, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given, will he repay again. In Psalm chapter number 37, verse number 25, we quote all the time, I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. But verse 26 is a good one too. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. David says, I've been young, now I'm old. I've not seen the righteous forsaken because of the training that the righteous man has gotten by watching that servant of God give and give and give and give. So much so they become second nature. Ladies and gentlemen, if you think your ancestors laid up enough for you to have the riches and spoils for the rest of your life, you're totally mistaken. You have a requirement as well to take what has been given you and to be obedient in that area and continue to give and continue to learn the principles and process of giving. See, folks, you may never be convinced in another man's approach to the leading of the Lord in his life. And I'm learning that that's not really important. I think the most important thing that ought to be considered is whether or not that person believes in the leadership of the Lord upon his life. Everything that God says unto a man or to a church or leads a church, I can't understand. But do you understand? See, I was at a funeral back there in Arkansas, and I heard old boy stand up and make this statement. And it was an old song, I find out. And he said, you don't know what the Lord done told me. You don't know what the Lord done told me. You don't know when. You don't know where. You don't know how, because you wasn't there. You don't know what the Lord done told me. And after a while, I said, man, that's silly old man. You know what? That's true. But I tell you this, I know your integrity. I know your integrity speaks loud. I know your honesty ought to speak for something. I know you ought to have a testimony. So even if I don't know what the Lord done told you, I know you believe God told you something. And if I know you believe God told you something, and I believe in you, then I'm behind. That's where we're missing it. Hey, God ain't told me, but you know me. You know my testimony. You know my way of life. You know my commitment to the Lord. You heard about it. You may not believe that God told me to do this, but do you believe that I believe God told me to do it? And would you stand by me for the work's sake? For the Lord's sake, because you, watch it, you believe in what? Me. I don't understand Miracle Mansion, but I understand Mike Baldwin. I don't understand Brother Kenny Baldwin's burden for youth and so forth, but I understand Kenny Baldwin. I didn't understand Pastor's vision for Colvin, Black America, and all that he understands, but I understand him. And especially when I understand he's paying for it. I don't need no anything else. Hey, but if you guys God's going to give you a vision and then give you the opportunity to pay for it, and you do it. I try to do it anyway. It don't work like that. Most of my guys spend hours on the telephone trying to convince somebody that God done told me something. And here's all the documentation of it. Here's all the proof of it. It's going to work. I assure you of this. It's going to be this way. Come see and all that kind of stuff. But it ought to be enough to say, brother, do you believe it? Preacher, yes, sir. God told me this. My family's behind me. My ministry's behind me. My testimony, my name's behind me. Well, that's enough, brother. I don't need to know anything else. That's fine. No. You don't have to convince me. I believe in what? You. I believe in you. But it starts to get smaller when you begin to look at our sea of friends. Our sea of friends becoming a cup of friends, becoming a cup of water. Instead of a sea of friends, a cup of water friend. Very few people really earnestly believe in you. Very few people believe in you. In you? Very few believe in you. I'm not going to enter into a debate about whether Caleb's strength was actually as virtuous as it was 45 years ago, or strong as it was 45 years ago. I'm not going to enter into that debate, but I will debate you that Caleb believed it was. Whether he was as strong as an 85-year-old man as he was at 40 years old, we can debate that. But one thing we cannot debate, the truth that Caleb thought he was as strong as he was at 40 years old. Caleb was willing to take upon him as much as he would have taken upon him at 40 years old. Caleb believed it. And because Caleb believed it, Joshua blessed it. He said, you go ahead on with your bad self. Go ahead on. Caleb's request was to give me this mountain. He said, I'm able to do this if God helps me. I got to move from here because this is going to take me a little longer than I need to take. But I want to say something about two of them. I'm looking for some help, Brother Ken. I'm looking for somebody to say, go ahead, I'm going to take your time. I'm just looking for a little encouragement. Caleb's confession. Hey, I want this mountain. Ladies and gentlemen, it was not theory. Caleb was not talking theoretically about he wanted the mountain, about what God was going to do. He wasn't thinking theoretically. He wasn't thinking hypothetically about this. Caleb knew without a shadow of a doubt that God would give him what he wanted. This was very rational to see. He talked about it in verse number 12. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou hearest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. So if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord hath said. This was very rational, for I think, first of all, it was agreeable. He said the Lord spake. Secondly, it was sensible. Looked like to me from it's one of the best places that you want to be, because those big giants, it's amazing how gigantic people are so insecure. If you're the big man on the block, what you doing with all this defensive mechanism? He said, man, there are fenced cities there. They're well-known places there. It was sensible. It was likable. Anybody with courage would wanted to be here and wanted to claim this mountain. Hey, but listen, there's a lot of folk would not have claimed it because the Anakims were there. It was going to take some effort to drive them out. And a lot of folks said, I want it, but I don't want it that badly. It was considerable. Caleb said, this is the same bunch that caused me to have to wait 40 years. It was believable. Under the leadership of the Lord, Caleb knew that he could do anything. He knew that all things were possible for them that believe. Luke 18:27, he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Jesus said in verse 9, Mark 9:23, and Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Is there a mountain, young man, in your life? Are you looking at the call of God? Is a mountain in your life? Hey, the promises of God are sure. Why don't you declare, I want that mountain? I want that church. I want that city. I want that opportunity to serve God. I realize Bible college is telling you now, stay in school another 2 years, get a master's degree, and that way give them another 2 years of free work. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, you need to realize that God's called you. You get with your pastor and find the will of God out. God hadn't told that college president the will of God for 900 students. Find the will of God for your life. You don't need a master's degree to serve God. Serve God and get a master's degree. Find you a place to serve God. Find you a place where man is looking for an opportunity and needs somebody to come in and help. Get in there and serve God with it. All of a sudden, you got to have a master's degree. Son, now you got to have a salary package before you go out and serve God. There's so many God-called men sitting on pews because they listen to counsel of some well-meaning men. But those well-meaning men ain't trying to bring you on. I don't know if they're well-meaning then. I invest 4 years of school, 4 years and then 6 years of school and into this work in ministry. Some of these college students are so faithful to college, they don't even tithe. They're so faithful of paying their tuition, they don't even learn how to be Christian. You get a bunch of these old birds coming out of Bible college, you got to teach them how to tithe. You got to teach them what missions is. They know what tuition is, but tuition ain't no local church. But they don't know how to tithe. They're not faithful to God without filling out a report. We need a local church. You need to find you somewhere and learn something. Well, young guys, hey, young fellas, church planters, what does a tither, 52-week tither, look like? As you're knocking on doors, you're trying to build a church, you know somebody got to give? What does he or she look like? You know why you don't know? Because it ain't never been a concern of yours. But you trying to pastor? It's going to become a concern. Number two priority. Serving the Lord, including your family, and the tithe. Not an interest right now, but it's going to be a priority in a little while. Claim the mountain that God's given you, young man. Claim the mountain that God's given you, young person. Young servant of the Lord. Claim the mountain. Is it reasonable? Is it sensible? Is it likable? Is it considerable? Is it believable? Is it possible? Based upon the truth of the Word of God. I want that mountain. I want that mountain where the milk and honey flows. Where the grape of Esco grow, I want that mountain. I want that mountain. That mountain that the Lord hath given me. Do you want that mountain? Can you come? Let's pray. Father, we love and